Sky Sports Radio, it's time for Punters Postmortem. A complete wrap of the weekend's racing and the chance to have your say. Let's get into it.
Wow, what a weekend of horse racing it was, both in Sydney with the feature being Royal Randwick and the performance of Winx, which had to be seen to be believed, and then down in Melbourne as we get ready for the spring. Some exciting performances to speak about with Hartnell and the drama surrounding the jockey of Hartnell and Craig Williams. All of that's going to be covered on this edition of Punters Postmortem. On top of all that, we've just seen a fairly significant trial, I think you're going to be able to call it that, with a great field lining up in trial number three. It was English Jasoni, Happy Clapper, Invincible Gem, Le Romaine, Red Zell, Russian Revolution and Teaspoon. In the end, it's just been concluded with Red Zell for Peter and Paul Snowden clearing out along with Russian Revolution. Red Zell winning that trial from Russian Revolution with Happy Clapper, a very, very good third for Patrick Webster, or Pat Webster. Good morning to you, Ronnie Duffersey.
Yeah, good morning, TK. Plenty happening. And Hootson won her trial at the Gold Coast by panels this morning as well. So everything's coming to hand for a big spring. You know, we've got Winx, we've got Hartnell Williams, we've got the trials. And I'm interested to hear later on Dino's thoughts on these. Are we underselling these two Melbourne sprinters, Vega Magic and Brave Smashed? They're not as hard in the market as I would have thought in a race like the Everest. They were simply dominant there on Saturday.
Yeah, absolutely. There is so much to talk about. It is such a great time of year. Good morning to you, Dean Lester.
Good morning, TK.
Didn't you have some drama down there?
Had an interesting day. Never dull on a race course, is it? Really?
All right. I'm going to say hello to Glenn, and then we'll come back and talk with you, Dino, okay? Hello, Glenn Munsey from tab.com.au.
Yeah, morning, TK. Morning, boys. I feel as though I've done half a day's work already with all these trials. We've got trials at Randwick, we've got trials at Hawkesbury, the Gold Coast, trying to catch up what happened on the weekend. There's no rest day, is there?
No, there's not. Dino, what about this? It was a great performance from Hartnell. Brilliant, really. It was never in doubt until I found out that Craig Williams, behind the barriers with what appeared to be a light vest on, thought he might have weighed in light. So you tell us the story. He's gone across to the farrier.
Well, yeah, he went across to the farrier. He needed to make up some weight, and he decided that, you know, a set of clinches were was the go down the boot, and it made up the weight, by over a kilo, but certainly a bizarre situation. I mean, the situation is that the jockey's way out of race in advance, so he'd weighed out for race eight for his lighter ride, and he hadn't changed his best vest back from his lighter ride to his heavy ride. So
aren't light vests illegal?
No, you can. No, it's conforms. No, he's got a heavy one, as in like above standard. Probably the one that the lighter one is the standard that most used. But Craig's a very light rider.
Yeah.
And he's probably trying to help. He was probably, you know, when he weighed out for Hartnell, using a heavier vest to just help with a little bit less dead weight. That was the situation. I just heard Terry Bailey mention that had he alerted the stewards behind the barriers, they would have gone and got his heavy vest and delayed the start. But he took it into his own hands.
Yeah, well, he was down to ride Hartnell was 59 kilos, and his ride in race, the following race, was Suchet, only had 54 kilos.
54. He weighed out at 60.1 because they have the digital up on the screen at the scales there at Caulfield, so you could see what he weighed out at. And when he weighed in, there was a little bit of a consternation, and then they weighed him in again on the scales where they weigh out downstairs, and he was 61.3. So he was 1.2 more. And not that he was going to lose the race, but they wanted to know because Craig's, as I said, a lightweight rider and most unusual for him to come in anything other than what he weighed out.
Yeah, so he was fined $1,000 for riding in the gear he didn't weigh out in. Then he was fined a further $1,000 for being overweight. So he never got fined anything for the pinches and the file and the rasp.
No, or maybe he's got to give him back to the farrier, I don't know.
But did he produce him in the steward's room? Like, here are he's full of these things.
Well, it was sort of I was actually on air on Melbourne Radio and watching them weigh in, and I saw that he was quite a deal over. And the next thing, he and Terry Bailey shuffled off and they said there'll be a delay in correct weight. And I wondered what was going on because he was going to lose the race. He was over.
Yeah.
But, then it came out in the fullness of time what had happened.
I thought he'd weighed out with Mark Guest's little black book shoved down his pants. He would have been 4 kilos over.
Yeah, well, at least.
I mentioned how unusual it was, Dino, and quite clearly an honest mistake, but there would not be a more professional jockey, would there be, in the country than Craig?
Until Saturday.
Well, he's shown that he's human. He's human.
Yes.
He made a blue, but actually remembering the blue before the race might have saved punters a lot of money because the weight differential, he says, between his two vests is about half a kilo.
Yep.
So he weighed in 60.1. Chances are he'd have come in about 59.6, which is right on the borderline of being disqualified. So
call for the bridle.
No, you get half a kilo, so 50. Okay. They don't worry about that anymore.
No.
But yeah, so 59.5. He'd have been okay, but if he'd been another 0.1, so he actually made a good thing of it, but the horse carried a bit extra.
Fantastic scenes at Royal Randwick, women, children, flags, hardened race goers, punters. We saw Winx now defying all the odds. Winx 18 straight, the most dramatic, I think, of all the victories, nosing out Fox Play after missing the kick by 4 lengths. Mathematically impossible. Well, for most, Ronnie, but maybe not for Winx.
No, exactly right. It was the most exciting race that she's been in.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you've won 17 straight and the expectations there for everything to go right and, you know, just be on them on the point of the turn and she struts her stuff and races away. And then when that little Fox Play just put the ears back there on straightening up, and I thought, oh, geez, it's going to steam home this thing. And she did exactly that. And for Winx to pick her up and, you know, like she's run 55-1 for her last 1,000 metres. It's just incredible to think what she'd done. And then you think, oh, geez, that'll just drag the guts out of her. And she comes in, you'd swear blind, she wouldn't blow a match out.
Yeah.
Amazing. And then you look at the replay and you think, oh, he's only hit her once. She's an absolute champion.
Look, you guys might have heard it, you might not, but had a really good chat with Huey this morning, and he casts his mind back to first up last prep, and look, he goes, look, if I could drop her out like that all the time and just save her for that one burst, maybe that would be my preference to ride her like that. But it's risky, right? Because you've got to make sure you time the run absolutely to perfection. But he said, compared to her first run last campaign, where he reckons he was too hard on her, asked her for too much, where he really liked the way she got to the line, ran through the line this time. As you mentioned, he only hit her on one occasion. She's pulled up. This is the good news coming out of the Waller camp and Huey. She's pulled up exceptionally well, and it wasn't a gut-busting run.
No, well, like you say, with the first couple of furlongs of that race weren't run at speed. She got into a rhythm, she travelled, and then she had to sprint home, and that's exactly what she did. To the eye, it looked tough, and to the clock, it looks tough. But that was a fast track on the day, and they're all individuals, and at this stage, everything seems to be A-OK with her.
Mm. What, Glenn? She doesn't move in markets, I wouldn't imagine. You've got her tight enough.
Well, TK, we put her up $1.40 in the Cox Plate when the first markets come out. I think $1.40, and then she was made $1.50, but she's been $1.50 for a while now.
Right.
You know, you can't make her shorter, you can't make her longer.
No.
She looked as though she was going to start the shortest price in her career on Saturday, but she actually drifted. You know, she got into as short as $1.05 at one stage during the week after opening $1.10 on Monday.
What did she drift to?
She got back to $1.10.
Oh, stealing money.
I thought we were geniuses after it missed the start. You know, there must have been a pot for her. But not only did she, you know, break the clock, she literally broke the clock in the barriers because she smashed the timing mechanism.
Broke the chip, didn't she?
Yeah. That's why we couldn't get the proper, well, the Longines sectionals anyway. We had two independent clockers do the last 600, Michael Fraser, who of course helps us out here on Sky Sports Radio, and also Vince Accardi, and they came up with basically the same time for her, 31.99 and 31.98.
Do you know, we're going to take your thoughts if you want to call now, 13 53 53. The open line is officially open now. The open line officially open now, 13 53 53. So call, text messages 0419 767 272. I think I sat here this time last week and said, talk about good things beaten. Well, let's go to some good things beaten. What about Euro Angel? What about Omme Sword? What about Arresta? All at Randwick.
well, I don't think Omme Sword would have won had it jumped anyway.
Yeah, but Todd, you'll never
just
know.
Just the way the race was run. She couldn't make up that ground. Nothing made any ground in that
race. It nose-planted.
Hmm. She was going to be back in the field anyway.
You couldn't say she would have won, but it was a total forgive run. Hmm. And you're right, nothing. They broke a course record there at 1,200 metres. That's why, you know, 1, 2, 3 across the line were pretty well on top of the speed from the turn on. And the back markers like your Omme Swords, your Invaders, your Spectroscopes, they didn't get into the race. But I think where they all should be forgiven, being so late in the day. The track was so dry by then, with the wind had been up all day. So back markers late in the day had to be forgiven. And I agree with Euro Angel. And Arresta should have thought that finished out with Taggerson. Not so sure it should have won, unless you put your money on it. Then you'd dead set certainly, but if you backed it. they should have, you know, singled out and fought that race out.
Yeah. It could have been heartbreaking if you knew people that were on it. 13:53:53. And I've got to say, I know I'm a bit biased here. I know he's a good mate of mine. But the training performance by Richard Friedman to make Ouvray upset Saeed, when you think this horse is not one for over 1,000 days, that's a big effort.
Huge effort. Huge effort to switch an old horse that has completely lost desire and back into action. And I think the little bit of stable confidence was there to say, you know, Richard was on a mission to turn this horse and at least win a race with this horse, and mission accomplished. I thought it was the absolute ride of the day. By
Glyn Schofield.
He just stalked.
I should have. I didn't ask him this morning because I was concentrating on Winx.
You were game.
You were terrified.
Because I had another look at it, and I thought, yeah, live watching it, I thought Huey might have been caught napping. When I watched it on replay, I don't think he was.
Yeah, I just think. I reckon he had a nod off there at the 100.
So you are bagging him.
I'm not bagging him.
Well, hold on. He nodded off at the 100, you said.
I thought this is home, but he had plenty of time to react after that. Once that Schofield peeled off back inside him and says, you know, tried to pounce on him, he had plenty of time to pick back up, say Ed. But I reckon he had a little, you know, light up the cigar there at the 100, Luke Huey, and maybe just drop the guard a little bit.
Opinion, Glenn?
I just think he basically outrode him. He sat behind Huey, got the windbreaks, and then dived to the inside and had his momentum up. And you've got to remember, Sayed had 61 kilos. You can't pick him up and get going again. He was doing his best, Sayed.
Well, you say outrode him.
Because of the way he rode in the race.
What else could Huey have done?
Well, he can't lift him and carry him. And he said, even in his explanation in the stewards, he said, you know, he thought he was doing enough on the horse, but he only pulled the whip over the last 75 metres when Ouvray really sort of come. And you look at Ouvray. Ouvray just stuck his head out and wanted to win a little bit more than what Sayed did.
No doubt.
Yeah.
I was about to say,
can you believe you're actually saying that?
All I can say is Will's a genius.
Yeah, well done to Will. Richard's son, who I think they've got about 16 at Rosehill Gardens.
Oh, plenty of room for more, Richard said.
Mate, there's always plenty of room for more. Chris Waller's got plenty of room for more. Work that out. Hello, Sean, good morning to you.
Good morning, mate. How are you?
Good, mate. The esteemed panel, Dean Lester's in Melbourne. He's listening, yeah. Ronnie Duffy and Glenn.
I just want to speak with Dean, if that's okay.
Go for your life. Put 20 cents in.
Do you know what's happening with Jukebox? That was another good win on the weekend. Is he getting set for the Guineas, or are they keeping him to sprint trip?
I think they'll keep him to the sprints. He'll run in the Danehill in 4 weeks at Flemington, but I think he might stay to the sprints.
So you reckon the Coolmore?
Oh, I think that'd be the obvious if they're keeping him that way, yeah. Trying to win a Group 1 with him, yeah.
Golden Rose?
No, I think Merchant Navy will go up for that.
That's his stable mate, isn't it?
I think the plan is for him to go up for the Golden Rose.
He's not entered for the Caulfield Guineas. Jukebox?
Jukebox? No. He's a sprinter.
And can I ask Ronnie a question as well?
Yes, Sean.
Another 20 cents.
Do you know what's going on with... what was the horse that ran second to Winks the other day?
Foxplay.
Yes.
Yeah, look, I'd say she'd go in a couple of mares races leading into what I would say would maybe a shot at the Epsom.
Epsom?
Yeah.
She wouldn't... she probably wouldn't get much weight, would she?
No, she wouldn't, even though she's a Group 1 winner of the Queen of the Turf. You know, she might run in the Furious or something like that. Or she
Golden Pendant.
Yeah, Golden Pendant. She might run in a tramway in a fortnight, so 1,400 metres. But
she's pretty good.
She's pretty good.
She's really good.
It's nice to see them come back from three to four, and she definitely showed that on Saturday.
Good on you. Well done, Sean. They're more likely to come back than they are from two to three, aren't they?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Do you know what I mean? It's more a natural sort of progression, isn't it?
Oh, and they still stay in their age group from two to three. When they get to four, they've got to take on the big boys and girls.
Yeah.
A whole new ball game. What do you think of these two sprinters, Vega Magic and this ex-Japanese?
Brave Smash.
They were both outstanding in different ways. He's a beast, Vega Magic. He's first time I've seen him. He's such a big, powerful horse, and the 60.5 kilos, he over-raced, covered ground, but he was still too good, and Brave Smash just got behind the wrong horses and hit the line. He is just the quintessential sprinting-looking horse. He's short-coupled. He's nothing like any of the Japanese horses we've seen before. He's just a powerhouse, so it'd be very interesting. That race was a listed race on Saturday, and I think third onwards were listed class horses. The first two maybe Group 1, Group 2 horses. So.
And he could form up to a mile and a half in Japan.
Wow, pretty poor form, yeah. He's better. He's definitely a sprinter.
Mm. Well, let's keep taking calls. Hi, Tony. Good morning.
Good morning, TK. Good morning, boys. Yes, Glenn, it is double A.
Thank you, mate.
Listen, I had my first bet when I was 7 years old on Evening Peel in the Melbourne Cup. I had sixpence on it. I had the pleasure of watching Tullock. And by far, he has been the greatest horse I've seen, based on the fact that he never raced as a four-year-old. He beat the King of Caulfield, Lord, who won 21 races at Caulfield, first up over 10 furlongs. But after Saturday, I have to put Winks into the second slot, based on the fact that the horses they beat, and this is Tullock, are all champions, Prince Darius, etc., Lord, Doolagiri. Winks gave a Hartnell two barbs last year, and he's the fifth-rated horse in the world. And what he did on Saturday, I'd be inclined to suggest maybe he would have been tough opposition for Winks on Saturday. But saying all that, and I am waffling on, he is by far the second-greatest horse I've seen, or she is.
Okay. Well, it's high praise, Tone.
Sorry?
High praise.
Beg your pardon?
High praise.
It is, because, she was the miler of the year, middle distance. She'll win the Cox Plate, because that's the race she's set for, and that'll just, won't have to prove her champion status. But I reckon she could give a Chautauqua in the Everest.
Oh, so do I.
The races were apart.
If trained for it.
Hmm. But goodness gracious me, that performance on Saturday, the last time I saw a horse was Shannon. No, I didn't see it because it was a little bit too early for me.
Well, I've seen that on replay where Shannon got caught up in the... or missed it by about 20 lengths.
Well, I missed it by a furlong, got beaten half ahead by Blue something.
Blue Era.
No, not Blue Era. Well, no. 60.
Blue something.
Anyway...
Blue Rinse.
Dean...
Blue the Star.
Yes, Tony.
Keep your eye on the horse I reckon would win the straight six race on Melbourne Cup Carnival, Ability. Oh, he's good.
He is good. He's actually going to be stretched.
When they geld them, they find something.
They do.
I don't know what. I'm talking too much.
You're okay. Nice to hear from you, Tone.
Glenn.
Yes, double A.
I hate to bring back. Well, I will, because I get sentimental. I was a personal friend of your father.
Oh, well, he was...
I was born and bred in Musselbrook, so I've been around.
Geez, you have got around. Mm-hmm.
After a triple bypass, a quadruple bypass, and a mini stroke, I'm still hanging in there.
Good on you, Tone. Good always you, good to hear from you, mate. 13 53 53. Let's keep taking calls for our panel. Hi, Tim. Good morning.
G'day, boys. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Question for Ronnie.
Yes, Tim.
Ronnie, in 2016, Gay Waterhouse, she bought the top two lots at the Easter yearling sales, and one of them was the relation to Winx. What's happened to it? We haven't seen it at all, and the second one?
Look, I don't know what's happened to it, Tim. That's something we'd have to ask. So, look, I haven't heard some horses can go wrong, obviously. But, that's a question we may be able to get.
We'll throw it out there.
Yeah, we'll throw it out there. Someone may be able to tell us.
Yeah. 13 53 53.
I've been looking for it, because I read Gay's, a lot of the websites and stuff like that, in the training things, and it's just nothing's there about it at all. It's not on websites anywhere.
Don't worry, you'd see it in the mainstream press if it's coming to the track, Tim. We'll keep you up to date with that as well. We'll put it out to our listeners who seem to be the best researchers. 13 53 53.
You're listening to Punters Postmortem. Have your say. Call us on 13 53 53, SMS 0419 767 272, or send us a tweet at Sky Sports Radio 1.
Let's get straight back to the open line. We've got so many callers on board. Hello, Adam. Good morning.
Yeah, g'day. I've got one for the Duff and Dino down there in Melbourne.
Fire away, mate.
3-year-olds for the Duff and Condor Heroes.
Yeah, I'm interested to see him on Saturday. He runs in the San Domenico, first up there at home at 1,100 metres. So he's a horse that found a few problems last prep when he had a few viruses. He was the star of the show at the official 2-year-old trials. We know he's fast. I was interested in his latest trial where he actually settled behind the speed and just cruised to the line there. So I find him an interesting horse. I really do. And it'll be interesting to see what he does in this San Domenico on Saturday there, Adam. I'm interested in him. I'm interested in him for sure. I'd like to see him, I don't know if he's going to get any further than 1,200, but he's very fast.
Yeah. Yeah, I like the trial too. Thanks, mate. Thanks, Ronnie. And Dino, down there in Hartnell on Saturday, moving to the Caulfield Cup, I think it's a good chance.
Yeah, why not? All the horses first up Saturday, he looked the best. He looked the fittest, and he's in good shape. So you already know he's on his way, and I think 4 weeks of the Maccabi Davis Stakes, and if he goes that way, why not? He's a perfect horse for a Caulfield Cup.
Have they ticked him right off for the Caulfield Cup?
No, well, I mean, weights haven't come out yet and all that sort of game plan. But, I mean, I think that was the idea to go and have a look at Caulfield straight away to get that experience at the track.
Dino, the guys that do ratings, like I don't do ratings, right? But does he have to now rate higher for his win Saturday because he actually carried more weight?
Well, I've actually sent Greg Carpenter a message about that.
Yeah.
Well, he
didn't get carried above weight for age, so he did carry more weight. Yes.
Mm. So you know, I'm trying to work out
because if a horse is on the minimum and the jockey rides it half over down here, I know that they're weighted on the weight they actually carry, not the weight they handicapped at.
Okay.
Really?
Okay. So Dino, I feel like Kurt here, but he's the second best horse in the country.
Yep.
Wouldn't he be weighted out?
Well, he wasn't last year, and he's won one race since.
Yeah, but he's been look who he's been running second.
Yeah,
to.
but that hasn't changed.
Okay.
Like he's positioning. All right. He's positioning to Winx as opposed to last year's weights when he had 55.5. Hasn't changed. So he's won that race Saturday. He might get. I don't know.
Isn't that funny? So despite all those stellar performances and great seconds, so that doesn't change.
Well, it does. Not at weight for age because you're not. Changing, he's not changing his positioning.
Yeah,
and he's running the same race, so he's not improved. I would think, depending on the nominations, I mean, you got to that's what you got to take into account. I mean, he might get 58 because he might be the best nominated horse, but
okay.
I would expect some internationals to have higher ratings, and he'd be around the 56.
I'm sure Godolphin could find.
I would think so.
A couple of higher ones. Speaking of internationals, I know we've got callers to get to, and I want to. We saw the Melbourne Cup favourite go around. Red Cardinal has finished fifth in the Group 2 Kerguelen at Duval or Deauville. So the English horse Marmalow actually won that. So do you blow out Red Cardinal now, Glenn?
Well, it's hard to do the Melbourne Cup market, TK.
You've got one there, though.
Yeah, we've got one there and have one there.
He's $21 now. Those are the things I've never heard of are in the market here. How can you...
Well, it's a guess because we haven't even had nominations for the race. We put a market up on the Melbourne Cup, you know, the day of last year's. And all you're doing at this stage is adding names that you think might come here.
Well,
and until they take the official noms in another couple of weeks, then you price them up, the ones that nom, and they always become shorter once you know they're definitely on a plane to come here.
Okay. So I think this is how it worked over the weekend. If we've got some international experts, the Irish St. Ledger trial in Ireland, Order of St. George won that, Rekindling second, Wicklow Brave fourth, Thomas Hobson didn't run. I think those horses were all in the calculations for the Melbourne Cup.
Well, Thomas Hobson's the shortest of those at $21.
Order of St. George is 31.
Didn't run. Order of St. George won. Rekindling second. Wicklow Brave fourth. In the Kerguelen, which we spoke about, Red Cardinal finished fifth. Now, that's the race that Americane and Dunedin has come out of. And what else happened over the weekend?
A lot of ground. I'm just watching the race now. The Red Cardinal.
The Judmont's coming up on Wednesday night. That could be an important one. That's the Group 1 over 2,000 metres, Ronnie.
Yeah. Yeah, at this stage, well, the Tab have got Admire Deuce favourite for the Melbourne Cup with Hartnell. Albert's third pick. Yeah, some names for you. Almandon, Big Duke, Crocodile Rock, Francis of Assisi. So a long way to go as far as
Are important races.
They are. We'll be analysing them, you know, come Melbourne Cup week. For sure.
John, good morning.
We're doing.
Hi, John. Thanks very much for waiting, mate.
G'day, boy. How are you?
Good, thanks, John.
Look, a couple of things. Is it true that the barrier attendant was holding on the wing when they jumped?
Ronnie?
I reckon he had hold of her, but only because she was getting her head down and was going to flip.
Agitated, yeah.
So
I was going to say, apart from the fact probably should do an inducer, so it's a bit of a contest, but what would have happened if she got beat? How much pressure would have there been on the steward to scratch that?
There would have been pressure.
Given her sequence of wins and all the money that was invested.
I think the stewards were... I think Mark Van Gestel come on Sky Sports Radio during the day, actually, and said she would have been declared a runner.
Yes.
Yeah. Because she was placed
in the...
It was her own doing.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I think the attendant did the right thing, John. Remember,
what we were there for.
Remember we were talking about her barrier trial where she actually got the foot up on the on the barrier stall, and Huey admits... If he's got one concern about the horse,
it's usually when she's
it's in
fresh.
The barriers.
Yeah, it's usually the first few runs. Right. Although I think she may have done in a Cox Plate one day. Just had a little bit of a shuffle before they jumped. Maybe it's time we should build her own barrier stall. Maybe 4 lengths behind everything.
Well, that's what the Victorians did for Black Caviar.
Well, we isolated the other runners.
Yeah, we could do something, surely.
It's still the most bizarre thing we ever did.
I still can't.
It's still without a doubt.
I still can't believe that happened.
That was the most bizarre thing ever.
Maybe she could have a standing start a couple of weeks ago.
How did that happen?
No. Don't get me started on that one.
You like the handicap races at the Dogs.
Yeah. I still love that.
You know what? If you don't ask, you don't get.
And if she asks, she's got a bit of pull.
I reckon they did it as a joke and they said yes. Unbelievable. God bless them, by the way. Hi, Guy. Good morning.
Hi, how are you going?
Good, thank you.
That's right. Oh, guys, I just wanted to make a comment about the races at Randwick on the weekend.
Go for your life.
So I just like to credit them. I took my 2-year-old son for the first time.
Yeah, good.
And obviously he's got no idea about racing, but it was just fantastic. It was family day. We went to watch Winx. It was just a fantastic family day out. And I had him sitting on the fence, watching the horses come down the straight, and he had a smile on his face, and he's going, go, go, you know, watching the horses
good
come
stuff.
Down. Yeah, to get a photo with the horses in the background. He was just so excited watching those horses. And just what a great family day. They had the petting zoo there.
Good stuff.
And there's shows. And, you know, I got to watch Winks and all this other quality racing. So, yeah, just a credit to the event organisers there. What a fantastic day. I'll be making sure we go again next year.
And it's a cheap day out.
Mate, it cost us $30 for the family to get in. It was fantastic. I was quite surprised. And, it's an awesome day. So I just want to just credit them. And to people that haven't been to the races before but might follow it on TV or the radio, do yourselves a favour and get out to a race day. What an event. There's nothing like being on the fence and watching the horses come down the straight. It's just everyone's cheering. The atmosphere was fantastic on the weekend. And my boy Kane, he just... 2 years old, and he's sitting on the fence. Go, go, go. It's just fantastic. So, yeah, credit to the
plus,
he
was history,
on, did he back a winner?
He was on Fox Play, the concession, so he was tickle pink.
He was on at the favourite out market.
I can guarantee you in history, when in years to come, when your grandson, when your son has got his own grandchildren, he'll be telling them that he was there the day Winks missed the start by 30 lengths. Well, it'll turn into 30 lengths by then anyway.
Well, Guy,
I spoke to my partner Liz straight after it, and I said, you know what, in 20 years' time, we'll show him that photo, and he's got no idea at the moment how good that is. Yeah. But when we're showing that photo in 20 years, and he sees Winks in the background, and he was there as a 2-year-old, he'll realise then how special it is when he looks at the record.
Isn't that good? Good on you, mate. I reckon the ATC, who should be listening to the program, I reckon they should bottle your call, use it as a marketing device, and they should be hosting you at one of their feature meetings coming up, you and your family.
Well, don't wait till next year. She's here in 2 weeks. So
that's
back
what
in
I'm
two
saying.
Weeks.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'd be doing. 13:53:53. Winks is quoted as being the world's best horse on turf. What turf? Please explain. What do you mean? Well, Arrogate is noted as being the world's best horse, and Arrogate was beaten again over the weekend. So I think Winks is officially known as the world's best horse on turf. Morning, boys. Could you tell me what happened to Red Cardinal overnight in the Kerguelen? Michael in Milton. Michael, we just covered that one. It was fifth. And you weren't overly impressed, Dino?
Oh, he was back and wide, and... He sort of made ground coming to the turn, and all the ground he made, he lost because they sprinted right as he started to go out wide. So it was a bit of a nothing run. It wasn't bad. It wasn't great. But the leader dictated terms and won the race.
Come on, boys, admit it. Hartnell would have rolled Winks. Tez? Oh, yeah. We'll never know, maybe.
Hartnell might have been the field. She might have drawn four wider, gone in last, won by lengths.
Yeah, I don't know. But Hartnell, was great to see Hartnell come back so well on the weekend. Hey, Dino, got an opinion of Sufferant, $100 into $17 for the guineas. Thomas?
Thomas.
Sufferant.
Souffrant.
Souffrant. Souffrant.
Now, where did I see it? It won somewhere through the week, didn't it?
All right. I don't know.
I'll
Souffrant. Okay. We'll try and get an opinion, Thomas, so stay listening. Handyman Francis Forrest, Duff. Who do I blame for Euro Angel? Cost me the quaddy. Couldn't be my own fault.
I'm a bit the same. I'm looking... look, it happens. He didn't do too much wrong for it. She's not the easiest mare to ride because, look, I was hoping she landed on Sweet Redemption's back, but she's a mare you can't fire up because she can pull. A couple of her races last prep, she just was a rat. She wanted to pull over everything's heels there and do plenty wrong. Look, she should have won. I don't think we can blame Abdullah. It was more so that it didn't work for her. Didn't happen for him to run.
If he stuck to... I mean, here I go.
Yeah, there's a lot of ifs.
Here I go. But, I mean, in the end, if he stuck to the inside...
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, he did... Honestly, he did the right thing. He tried to get off the fence. He tried to find some clear running.
He got the favourites back.
Yeah, he couldn't... He just couldn't...
Yeah. It didn't work.
It didn't work.
The word if is contained in the other word stiff. Yes. And that's what it was.
Exactly.
Yeah. Anyway, we move on somehow.
Souffrant won at Bendigo last week. It won well. Yeah, it's a nice horse. What was it in the guineas, was it?
Yeah, it's in the $17 in the Guineas. Peter Roble had it.
$100 in 2017.
Had the one run on the wet track. When
very
it was
well backed in a race. It Skyline, might have been the English race.
Yeah,
no, it was an English race, and I reckon it was scratched. And I think it was something like $26 to $6.
Yeah,
and
it ran, it ran in the Skyline,
and that was a wet track and finished down the track. But it was definitely well backed in a race and scratched, and then was in the Skyline a couple of weeks later.
There was a better winner on that day than I don't know if it's in the Guineas market, a horse called Illumicon.
Illumicon, I'll go to the sort by IDs easier.
Yeah.
Illumicon, no.
Okay. Keep an eye on it. It's a horse of Tony McAvoy's. Very smart.
That stable's going well too, isn't it?
Going very well.
Yeah. Souffront, $17 in tab.com.au in that Caulfield Guineas. Jono, who owns Armidale, wants to know any more news from the stewards on Ronnie Quinton scratching all his horses last Saturday.
No, a few of the boys asked the stewards about that on Saturday. There was a bit of a no comment, so that obviously there's a discrepancy in their blood or something. So I'm sure if we stay patient, we'll hear more about that this week.
Glenn, I found that 34. $34.
I was looking at Illumicon.
It's
Illumicon.
34.
And I'd say, looking at the average there, it's probably a hundreds into $34. We've averaged it at the moment at $68.
Okay.
What we've laid it for. Takes out $103,257.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
None of mine.
Mm. None of yours?
It's a very smart horse.
But watch. Okay. Mm. All right. Let's keep taking calls. They've been good today. Well, they're always good. Bag Limits. Good morning, Bag. Hello, Bag
good
Limits.
Morning. Good morning, panel.
Good morning.
Remember when Chris Waller, he was a top trainer, and he said he loved to have a good horse?
Yes. Well, he's got a couple now.
Yeah, well, what's he going to do now? He's got Egg Tart. Egg Tart, if you notice, has been nominated for the Cox Plate.
Epsom.
If you ever look at the early acceptors for the Cox Plate, it's nominated for the Cox Plate.
Yeah, it'll be nominated for everything.
Yeah.
They're all nominated.
Yeah, but I would say Egg Tart is going towards the Epsom Bag Limits.
You reckon?
Yeah.
Maybe Caulfield Cup after that.
So if I throw a scenario in, remember what they did with Farlap when they scratched Farlap from the Caulfield Cup and the Melbourne Cup? I think they might do the same with Winx. If I was the owners of Egg Tart, come on.
You've got a good horse.
Let me have a go with Egg Tart. What it's done is outstanding. Better than so far Winx. Winx is a great horse, but until it wins three Cox Plates like Kingston Town, to me, it's a great mare like Sunline. When it wins three Cox Plates, but I don't know.
So you want them to scratch Winx for Egg Tart?
Yes, probably.
Yeah, no, it's her turn.
The doubles bookies.
Something will happen. I could be completely wrong. I'll ring you in a few months' time, and I'll see if I was right.
Yep. That's okay, Bag Limits. We keep us honest. There's no doubt about that. Look, she's going for the... You know, if she was mine, she'd be going to the Everest. But she's not. They want to win three Cox Plates. Mm. Good luck to them. They own the horse. They can go wherever they like.
Yeah.
The Everest is worth $10 million, and if she was trained to win the sprint, I reckon she could.
I wonder if they'd do that, the final hurrah before she goes to stud first up in the Everest and win another $10 million or something.
I reckon they will.
Why not?
You reckon they will?
Well, why wouldn't you?
It's a good plan. It's a good plan, absolutely.
Look, winning three Cox Plates is wonderful, but it's already been done.
Yeah.
So I don't... Look. It's good luck to them. They can do whatever they like. It's their horse. I'd go to the Everest.
Her brother, that horse we were talking about before that someone rang up, the full brother, or the half-brother, by Schnitzel out of Vegas Showgirl, was sold in English. And from Gay, he's in full work and going very nicely.
Very nice.
Yep.
Yeah. Got a name?
No, you can't have everything. He's only young. He'd only be a two-year-old, wouldn't it?
It would be.
Yeah. So.
Is Frankel still the highest time form rated horse in the last decade? That's probably for Dino, is it?
No, I'm not a time form man. Gary Christ, our man.
Well,
but,
let me tell you.
I would say yes.
You hear about these horses from overseas. He's every bit as good as they say he was.
Yeah.
We got lucky enough to see him twice. which is good. So, yeah, anyway, he's enjoying himself at stud, isn't he?
Yes. Yep. Yeah. First Australian winner the other day.
Yeah, Merivale.
Hello, Michael.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Just talk to Dean if I can.
Go, Michael.
On Friday, I was just going through the Darren Weir's runners, and he had 48 runners from Mildura to Ballarat over the weekend.
Yep.
He had trucks and staff going everywhere.
Yep.
He had one horse going to Seymour on Saturday.
Yes.
And I thought, well, that was really unusual. Why wouldn't he keep it for a provincial meeting this week rather than just send a strapper and a float up there sort of thing?
Must have been the perfect race for it.
So I had a good look at the form of that horse, Golden Flag. Won a maiden first up at favourite, then went to a 64 as favourite, ran fourth, then it went to another 64 on soft ground at over 1,600 at and ran about eighth. And I thought, well, gee, that form's good enough to win anything anywhere in terms of, and then back to a class one. So I tried to convince anyone and everyone that I could that this horse was worth looking at. And looked at the fixed odds, and it was $26.585. And I thought, well, that's not a good bet. Nothing is. And I ran second, was running second last all the way around, came around a big field, and won really easily. And the horse, being by Raise the Flag, had to be a fair chance to be a middle distance runner anyway. And I just, and I thank Darren Weir for taking it to Seymour and the TAB for putting the prices out.
Good on you.
Good on you, mate. It's seen plenty of the countryside. It's been to Avoca, Mildura, Bendigo, Warracknabeel and Seymour.
No, but Michael,
and
I agree.
To Ballarat.
It only had three starts.
I like your theory, mate. So he only sent the one to Seymour.
Yeah, one runner there. Yep.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Good stuff.
But it was $26.
It was, and it sailed down the outside and won.
Did it start $26?
Yep.
It did.
SP $26. Jeez,
what about, you guys are like this.
And it beat Cry If I Want To, which we probably did.
Bullwinkle, as text in, was bag limit over the limit. Look, we might not be laughing. Bag limit believes that...
In conspiracy theories.
Winks will be scratched in the Cox plate with egg tart, then getting the run and winning. Oof. Justin, good morning.
G'day, guys. How you doing?
Really well.
Hey, Glenn, I've never bet on the Big Six. We had some promo saying that some guaranteed pool or something.
I thought
I'd just went a couple of hundred on that standout in the Big Six. And I had the first four legs, and I thought, I'll have a look at the cash out. And it came up and said, you don't do cash out on that bet type. Why would that be, mate?
It's a paramutual bet. You can cash out on quaddies.
Cash out on quaddies, yeah.
Yeah, but Big Six, I don't
know.
Maybe
you're going to have five leagues. Can you cash out on five leagues?
You might have to wait till you get a dividend for five leagues. Yeah. You can cash out on quaddie after, one, two or three leagues. Yeah, I'll check that out for you, mate.
Good on you, Justin. That question too hard for us on a Monday.
Fix it up, Glenn.
Yeah.
Look, I've been away. Blue Legend run second.
Blue
to Shannon
Legend,
in the,
that was it.
In the Epsom boys, I wasn't there that day either.
If you go to Graham McNeice's excellent documentary, That's Racing. You'll see that. You've got to see it to believe it. The performance of Shannon, wasn't it?
Yep.
Which was quite remarkable. It's a fantastic documentary by the
Demon Darby Munro.
Okay, we've dealt with Justin. Morning, boys. I want to know where all of Australia's great colts are. Why are they always mares? We've had Maccabi Diva, Black Caviar, Winx, all superior champion mares. Cheers, Burger from Culburra Beach. Well, Burger, they go to stud.
And to produce mares.
And, it's really unfortunate, Burger. But, am I right or wrong?
There's a fair few things.
They got a good colt, he goes to stud.
Steroids not used in geldings. Colts go to stud. Mares are just... Yeah, they've been very dominant.
Yep, they have. And, they race on. They race on. Can you believe it's one to follow time, Dino, already?
Is it really? I've got a lot to follow, but narrowing it down to one.
You can give us...
I'll give you two. Oregon's Day ran really well without luck in race two on Saturday. And the answer, my friend, will win a big race this spring. Might win a... Turek Handicap or something like that. He's a very good horse.
You've given us the heads up there before.
Yep.
The answer, my friend.
He's a beauty.
So he was second and then Oregon Day.
Yeah, she finished down the track, but ran some of the best sectionals of the day, and she's better over further, so she went. She was good.
All right, there's two to follow from Dino. Duff?
I thought it was a great return from a horse called Life Less Ordinary on Saturday. He's a horse that...
He was a good run.
Yeah, second Aussie prep. Didn't look ready and did some very good things there.
Okay.
And he will stay.
Okay, Life Less Ordinary. I tell you, the flop of the day, Calculator.
Pretty ordinary considering the he's, you know, his place in the marketplace and the tip for him.
Excuses? Anything?
He over-raced and didn't want to settle, but he did find the 1-1. Yeah, disappointing.
He came back with a little blood in his nostril. So.
Yeah, one nostril.
Glenn, have you got one to follow, buddy?
I've always had a little bit of time for this horse. It was in the last Art Damore, and I thought it had a good chance on Saturday. It's still only a Class 4 horse running in town, and resume there. Should have run. I think it should have probably run a place at run fourth. If you're on it each way, it doesn't do you any good. But it can go back to the bush, and you know it's not going to be winning any feature races here. But you've got to find something that's going to be some sort of odds.
Okay. What's sad, boys, bagging that bloke for the big six? We weren't bagging him. We just didn't have an answer for him. Wanted to cash out of four legs of the big six. He wasn't allowed to, and we don't know why.
But we'll find out.
Yeah.
I don't think he would have been offered much. You know, what was it? $4.20, $4, $12 one there, and $1.10. $4. Yeah, I don't know. Yep.
And a quick one, I think I've got the 600 time for Winx. I've got the last 200 for Winx. 31.88 the last 600. It was 10 point something the last 200. But what was the last 400 for our man from Port Macquarie? Can anyone help me there quickly?
Yes.
The last 400.
21.06.
Yep.
There you go, Muzz from Port Macquarie.
51.18, 43.34, 31.98, 21.06, 10.7.
There you go.
5.34, 2.74, her last 50. There you go.
You're a good man. Thank you, Dino.
Thanks, TK.
Duff, always a pleasure, buddy.
See you, guys.
Glenn, hit them straight. Bit windy outside.
Mm. Yeah, keep them low.
Yeah, along the ground. Good on you, Glenn.
Not that low.
That's this edition of Punters Postmortem. Really enjoyed the calls this morning. Really substantial calls on Punters Postmortem. We're back again next Monday morning. Look forward to hearing from you again.